The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.
Welcome to Unfiltered. I'm here with my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Erin Fitzpatrick.
Hello.
Hey, Erin. How are you today?
Excellent.
Well, it's a rainy day out here in Roberta's, but we're making the best of it. You know, we have some special guests here today, our friends from Wines of Austria. But before we get into introducing them, we have some pertinent news, of course, some wine news in the world. Erin, would you like to let us know about what you did this weekend on Saturday?
Well, sure. Well, the Saturday, the competition for the best sommelier in America started, and Sunday it finished. So I actually went to Sunday, where the four finalists competed in a mock restaurant scenario, doing service for the judges, and watched them kind of in a sort of tense situation.
How many people were there, the total, you know, contestants, participants?
There were about 30 candidates, and it boiled down to four finalists on Sunday, and there were about 70 people in the room watching these four guys actually compete one another. They had a theory and some other tests on Saturday, and then Sunday was more of sort of the mock simulation.
So who were the finalists?
Well, I know who the winner is.
Well, and, please tell me who the winner was. That's what we want to know.
I don't want to, bastardize anyone's names by saying it incorrectly, but I think actually I do remember everybody who competed in the finals. We had Michael Meager, who's from Massachusetts, Christopher Bates, who's down in Pennsylvania, Jared Fisher from Le Bernardin, mm-hmm. and the winner was Alexander Leprat from DB Bistro Moderne.
That's right, DB
yeah.
Bistro.
So very big congratulations to him. He was certainly humbled when he took the award at the gala event that night, and it was really cool to see the different tests that they did during the day, and one of them, which was to do cigar service. Another one was to fill 20 wine glasses or champagne glasses with a magnum of champagne, a Pommery Cuvée Louise 98, evenly in 20 different champagne glasses. And the other was to serve wine at tables for these 16 judges, you know, the top wine personalities in the industry across the country. They're judging them and see what came about. So it was very cool. And
so it's not just about practical knowledge, it's actually service driven, and it really shows that, you know, it's about being on premise, and really the service element is still key.
Yeah, so that was a big part of being able to respond in a busy restaurant scenario to people's needs and do it with grace and do it with excellence. And
I'm sure he's going to be a guest on our show.
I am hoping
soon,
he so will. Yeah, I was going to reach out to him, give him a day to breathe before I got on top of that email. But definitely.
Perfect. Well, so, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest today. And we have Miss Stephanie and Miss Constance. And Erin, would you like to give their glowing credentials? Because
I would.
This is the worst
yeah.
part of my job.
So we have Stephanie Artner, who works with the Austrian Trade Commission, joined by Constance Chamberlain, who works with Brand Action Marketing, and she's been hired by the Wine Austrian Board to oversee PR efforts and social media. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
So how do you like Roberta's?
It's beautiful. You know, I actually live just two stops away from here, and I've never been here. So I definitely will come back.
Oh, good.
Well, I can see you're happily enjoying some of the beer that Roberta's has to offer. And we also brought some Austrian wines. So you brought one and I brought one. What did you bring for us today?
I actually brought a red variety, a Zweigelt, like one of our indigenous varieties.
Indigenous, right?
Indigenous, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody knows now I'm Austrian, by the way.
Perfect. And we have a white as well.
Yes, we also brought a Gruner from Lagler, from the Wachau, which is one of the best known regions for Gruner Veltliner.
And what did I bring?
What did you bring?
Well, I brought some Pinot Noir from the Wagram. So, you know, what's interesting is we were talking, Constance, actually, at my portfolio show briefly about how some regions and some countries are known for a specific grape varietal or many grape varietals. And, you know, if you think of California, or you want to think of, you know, some Cabernet varietals. Mm-hmm. And I think that people identify Austria with Gruner Veltliner. And my question to you is, from a marketing or a promotional side, how do you think that grape varietal has become popular? What's the acceptance of that grape varietal, and what is the growth, you know, over the last few years or since you've actually been involved with working with it?
Yes, Brand Action Team was hired about 2 years ago to start working with Gruner, and in that time alone, we've seen a lot of growth. We had the fortunate opportunity of having Gruner be the sommelier's darling when we started, but from then, it's working with millennials and working with a lot of social media efforts that's really given us the upper hand with reaching a new audience.
A millennial, who are they? What's their age bracket?
Well, that varies, but we'll go 21 to 32 for today.
Okay, so I'm not in that demographic. So I'm the old guy drinking, that's fine. I can handle
well,
that.
Well, they say that Gen Xers like to drink new varieties too. So.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Or we just like to drink.
So. Oh, well, there you go. That works.
I think another point too is that with that new variety, this particular group, I mean, this was a very softly priced retail wine, I think, on the market when it came out, and I think it still is in comparison to what is out there. And it's a very sort of likable, easy drinking wine. So you look at those different parameters that match up, and it seems like a good buy a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about Austrian wine is 70% of it is actually drank in Austria, so we only get the good stuff that's exported. Mm. So you can generally get a really good price for a really good wine.
Well, that's interesting. You know, Stephanie, being from the Austrian Trade Commission in some regards, or the Trade Council, or, you know, there's obviously objectives that you must have as a country to get not only drinkers of specific wines, but to promote Austria in general. And, you know, having actually gone to school in Austria many, many years ago at the University of Innsbruck. And
oh, did you?
I did indeed in 1989. I know that sounds like a long time ago, but but I know that such a small country, and there's not a lot of production, and this vintage in particular is going to be smaller production. What amount of fruit actually does make it out of the country? I mean, in terms of that people understand, and also, like, what are the objectives that you have as far as wine being, you know, for lack of a better example, the ambassador of your country?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Constant pointed out, we basically drink 70% of what we make. So we export 30%, and a great majority goes to Germany. Germany is our major, like, first export market since many years. And the United States actually have been a number third for many, many years,
too. The third.
Exactly.
Who's number two?
Number two is Switzerland and Liechtenstein. So all neighbors, you know, have been involved in our culture for many years and, you know, travel to Austria. So, but the United States, so it's a very important market for us. And to distinguish us from other countries, you know, we really focus on, you know, the originality, the handcraft. Like, it's all small farmers and, you know, really, yeah, family businesses over the years. And also, a lot of, like, organic farmers. Like, Austria is one of the most, the majority of farming is done in, like,
organic methods.
Organic, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, do the Swiss and the European drinkers, are they going mostly for the white varietals, or are they also going into the Schweigelt and the, you know, the Blaufränkisch type of wines?
You know, of course, white wine is
king.
King, exactly. But, you know, red wines, especially in Germany and Switzerland, are known more. You know, Austrian reds are known more. Here in the United States at the moment, you know, we did great work with Gruner Veltliner over the years. Mm-hmm. But so at the moment, you know, we really want to focus also on the red ones, because the red ones are just fantastic. And that's why I brought one of the Varietals Zweigelt, which is a very new variety, actually. Mm-hmm. It was just, made, because it's a crossing between one of other varieties, the Blaufränkisch and St. Laurent, and just in 1922. So it's a pretty young one, because we're actually 3,000 years in the making.
Wow. So, Aaron, what are your favorite white varietals besides Grüner? Do you think that the Grüner can? I'll change my question. I know that Grüner is king, but there's the $9 Grüner coming in liters, and there's the $40 Grüner that is, you know,
Smaragd or a little bit
coming in white Burgundy territory. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it's like kind of like the Chardonnay of France. Do you think that that's a grape that's going to really take off and
The Grüner Veltliner?
It's already taken off. But I mean, taken off at the higher levels. And then what my secondary question would be, and this is for Constance as well, what is your follow-up white grape?
No.
Personally, I think it's actually really important that we now broaden our strategy. And most people know Grüner as being this crisp, acidic, you know, green apple, really light grape. And that's
which the one that you brought today is pretty emblematic of. Yeah.
And before you move on, let's taste that wine.
Let's do that.
So, Stephanie, what do you get on this first little?
Well, actually, we had already talked about this. We decided that we already know what Grüner really tastes like. I know you just started importing some or distributing some, but you guys should tell us what you taste.
Oh.
Well, one of the things that I love about Grüner is just the vibrance of it. You know, I mean, it takes a second to oftentimes settle in the glass, and it has this sort of just verve, you know, a nice bright acidity. Nice green apple, lemon citrus, lemon zest. The classic notes of white pepper, I think, definitely come through in this too. That's what I go to for it. Yeah.
I mean, I think these wines, the variety of, I think I import 7 or 8 different Grüner Veltliners, which is probably a bit overkill, but we love it. And some of them are nervy and sort of fresh and clean, and some of them are rounder and have more depth of character and more mid palate. But I think overall, the freshness and the cleanness of Grüner to me is the key. And this wine in particular is delivering on that promise. Who's the producer again, Constance?
This is from Lagler. It's from the Wachau. Like,
and where would they be able to find this?
I don't have any retail exact stores off the top, but it is in New York area. So
2009 Karl Lagler. This is a Grüner Veltliner Fetischspiel. And I'd love to talk just about that too as we taste these wines, the different levels of... I mentioned Svetersfield, I mentioned Smaragd, and we have Steinfelder. So if you could talk a little bit about that and the characterization of those different levels.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you mentioned already Smaragd, so let's start from the top. I mean, what we are enjoying here, so that's really like the full-bodied, like, white wine. And this classification comes just specifically out of the Wachau. I mean, there is no other area who has this, like, Smaragd, Federspiel, Steinfeld classifications. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, to give just your listeners an idea, when you see a wine from the Wachau and you see a wine like with on the label, it mentions Smaragd, this means it's like really a full-bodied white wine, usually between 13...
It's really higher alcohol, 13 points.
Yeah, it can even be 14 sometimes percent of alcohol. And then, Smaragd comes actually from this lizard, which is, you know, found...
An emerald lizard,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, these are vineyard designations, and there's also quality designation, right? So want to explain a bit about that?
Smaragd and Federspiel aren't vineyard designations.
No, but there's some properties that can only have...
Yes. But basically, I mean, it's the best selection of grapes. They're able to ripen longer, later harvested, and then, therefore they end up having more sugar, but they're not necessarily sweet, generally not sweet. Mm-hmm. Austrian wine is known for its dryness, definitely. The Smaragd only goes, and Federspiel only goes with Grüner and Riesling, correct?
Yes.
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 So...
Yeah, that was my follow-up, was another white variety that I've had in the Smaragd level is Riesling from the Wachau, one producer in particular, Sigurd Tonnebaum, which I just love. But yeah, I mean, that's a different price point. Those, I think, are $40 retail, so it's something that, you know, you have to know what you're drinking, and there's
Absolutely,
certain people who are huge Austrian lovers that will flock to that, but I don't think that's what's moving necessarily as much on restaurant lists.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the market in general, yeah. But as we do sort of let everyone know that, Gruner, it doesn't have to be just crisp and acidic to be a great Gruner. In fact, those aren't the best Gruners. People will be more willing to venture into those other areas.
Definitely. Yeah. And then just to not let it, go, we had the other level classification, Steinfitter. So that's
medium body. Mm-hmm. It's just
most of it doesn't really make it to the U.S. But if you find it is just a lighter drinking, less.
Exactly.
Okay. Good. So let's move on to wine number two, and in the meantime, kind of touch upon the event that you're going to be hosting as well, and whether or not you're going to see more reds there coming out into the tasting scenario.
Yes, so this great event we have coming up actually for the second time. We did it the first time last year and it was actually a big success, and we are really proud and happy to host it again this year. So it's hosted by the Austrian Wine Marketing Board and the Austrian Trade Commission in Los Angeles on May 2nd and on May 4th in New York City. And what's really special about it this year, besides that it will be a trade event from 12 to 4, for retailers, sommeliers, and the media, there will be also a consumer event so that all these consumers, wine lovers, can also appreciate, you know, what Austria has to offer, because there will be wine from over 70 Austrian wineries. And we're very proud that this event is also... we have a following of restaurants, actually 12 restaurants, who also will participate. I will maybe name them quickly.
Please,
so everybody gets an idea. So we have Aldea, a Portuguese restaurant, and then Anfora, great wine bar, and Barbuto, BLT Prime, Craft Bar, Davy, Grand Daisy Bakery, an Austrian restaurant, Clay Brasserie, Perry Street, Seasonal, another Austrian restaurant, and Telepan New York, and of course, Valse.
Nice. That's a good lineup. Strong lineup.
I think that I had, I pitched the two most, prominent Austrian chefs against each other by trying to get Leo Hillinger and myself fat on Wiener Schnitzel. So I had Wolfgang and Kurt were both looking at me like, okay, whose is better? I said, I can't tell yet. I have to keep trying them. I have to keep eating these Wiener Schnitzels to figure out who's got the
draw
best.
Draw it out. Yeah.
They're drawing it out. So when I walk in, they know. And so now it's, but I know they're both getting their meat from the same purveyor. So Pat LaFrieda is doing a good job in providing the best veal in town. So,
not to mention Chuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you.
I'll ask you
one question about the event. Is it consumer and trade?
Exactly.
And what are the times for those?
Trade will be, so it's May 4th. The location is Tribeca Rooftop. It's a really fantastic, spectacular penthouse location with an amazing rooftop. So from 12 to 4, there will be the trade event. So any trade people who are listening, just go online, austriancork.com, and that's where you get all the information.
And the consumer event?
This consumer event will be from 6 to 9 p.m., also on May 4th. And tickets are $75. And just to mention, it's like wines from 70 Austrian wineries.
And food.
And food from 12 New York City restaurants. Plus, you actually will drink and eat for a good cause, because the proceeds will go to Grow NYC.
Excellent.
The Green Market Association of New York City. So it's a fantastic event, but we thought, as we're here today, we'd like to offer your listeners a special discount.
Uh-oh.
So if you go online at austriancork.com and you would like to purchase your ticket, you can put in the discount unfiltered and you get $20 off.
Love that.
Good job.
Yeah.
Ladies, solid effort. I love surprises.
And before we toast to that and taste the next wine, we are going to take a short break. So please stay tuned and we'll move on to wine number two. This is Unfiltered on the Heritage Radio Network. Yeah.
is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Unfiltered. You're listening to a live broadcast. This is your host, Aaron Fitzpatrick, with my co-host, Brian DeMarco, and we're here today with Constance Chamberlain and Stephanie Artner from the Austrian Trade Commission. So we'll get back to our on-air tasting and talking about Austrian wines and this excellent event that is coming up on May 4th here in New York City. Now, Brian, do you want to introduce this next wine that we have here?
I think I drank it already.
Well, there's more where that came from. That's more. Where
So yeah, this is one of our anchor producers. Thank you, Steph. Oh, no, this is Constance. Pour that. Thank you. This is Anton Bauer, and this is a Pinot Noir from the Wagram, and we do so well with this wine because it delivers not only on the promise of what Pinot should taste like, but it is a lower alcohol, high acidity, solid fruit, and I think that it just, you know, for a $15 to $20 retail wine, this is something that you used to see in Oregon maybe 7, 8, 10 years ago that they just, for whatever economic reasons, can't do anymore at that level. And so we're very proud to have Anton Bauer, Tony Bauer, in our book, and we've done so well with this wine. It's by the glass at a bunch of hotels, the W Hotel and Olives, big supporters. So shout out to our friends at Olives. And but I know that Tony Bauer also makes a higher reference, and his Grand Reserve Pinot is something to behold. And I think it's just a different level, but also has the same characteristics and notes, like these crisp, you know, tight cherry fruit, high acidity, roundness where it belongs, but not this fat, overbearing sort of mm-hmm. Pinot. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what do you think about Austrian Pinots?
Austrian Pinots, you know, came here to talk about Blaufränkisch and Zweigelt, Brian. I mean, there is, of course, I mean, this delicious Austrian Pinot.
Yeah, it is pretty tasty.
Because you can just put it down and, you know, someone else will drink it.
I think one thing that's just clear with all Austrian wine is just this driven minerality. You know, this one particularly has this smokiness in terms of the mineral notes, and the whites are just, you know, really
fresh. Freshness, I think, is a big advantage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this one is impressive. This is a 2006, too, and quite reasonably priced, too.
I think so. I think so. So our last wine that we have is some varietal that you have just mentioned that you believe is the flagship of Austria in Europe for the red varietals.
Austrian red variety, definitely, because it's definitely one of the widespread, most planted Austrian reds. Zweigelt, like I mentioned before, it's really, a tradition nearly in the last 100 years, because it was a big success introduced by this, Professor Zweigelt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the wine is named after. And the thing is, it's really a fruity wine, and a lot of cherries usually, mm-hmm. but a mellow palate and a very delicate spice. So
I think it's important to mention, too, about Zweigelt that, like Gruner, it comes in so many different expressions, depending on where you are. But the one that we have today is from the Carnuntum region, mm-hmm. which is in Lower Austria. I can't say that in German very well.
Yeah, Lower Austria, really bordering Burgenland, so.
And that's one of the best-known regions for Zweigelt, so.
And so, is Zweigelt, is there any belief that there's a clone that this comes from, or this is the original? I know Dr. Zweigelt, I understand that story, but I mean, what is the folklore?
You mean the folklore, the crossing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's Blaufränkisch and a St. Laurent. So Blaufränkisch, another, you know, Austrian grape, of and of course St. Laurent.
Usually blended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is also, what's very important to mention, since the crossing, since this grape Zweigelt, it goes also very well with other, like, varieties, you know, crossings, you know, for Cabernets and stuff like that.
So you think it's also a good blending grape?
Exactly.
This one is just rocking. This is probably one of the, on the nose itself, better Zweigelts I've tasted in a while. It has a sort of rubbery nose, that petrol nose, but a little bit of funk too. I like it.
What kind of foods would you match with Zweigelt?
Well, actually, we have some dishes we can recommend from Austria Uncorked.
So anybody who makes it to Austria Uncorked will be able to taste some delicious, let me see here, we have some marinated New York strip steak from BLT Prime. I think that will go very well with the Zweigelt, as well as the house-made Kobe beef Wiener sausage by the Clay Brasserie. So beef, nice. You know. Yeah. But we also see, you know, that actually Mexican food goes very well with Zweigelt.
So. Wow. Mm. So jump to that. So beef burrito and Zweigelt.
Absolutely.
Well, it has a nice acidity, so sometimes with the spice of Mexican food, it can kind of cut through that. So I can see that happening. What else do we get? A little sour cherry.
Yeah, and the alcohol content in this is not higher than 13, right?
I think it's 13, actually.
I don't know where.
Yeah, 13, right on the spot.
See, I know my alcohol content. At least my own blood alcohol content.
Let's talk quickly about the caps of Austrian wines. I mean, you just handed me a little card with this cool pin on it, and I'd love to talk a little bit about the correlation between the caps and this pin.
So basically, on the top of any Austrian wine, you're going to see the red, white, red flag almost, which basically just means it's a quality wine. It's been tasted by a panel, and it's been tested in a laboratory to make sure that it is a quality wine. And it has to be from one of the three main regions, Styria, Burgenland, or Lower Austria. That's basically all you're really going to see over here. So when you see that top, you will know it's an Austrian wine.
Mm-hmm. But is it kind of like the rooster designation on a Chianti, where you see that if it doesn't have that, it's not from the Chianti Classico region? I mean, it's basically to help the consumer understand.
Yeah, I mean, similar to that. But
I mean, it's completely different, but I mean, it's... No, it's absolutely. It's similar in theory.
Yes, okay. In theory.
And then these pins, which is sort of the same color scheme and flag.
It's just to show your support for Austrian wine.
Okay, cool. Very
nice,
cool.
Nice.
I'm going to wear this starting today.
We have one on every jacket.
So, you know, we're getting close here to the witching hour, but I want to make sure that everyone understands that this event is so fun and so interesting, not only for the trade but the consumers, and that if they go on today, Stephanie, $20 off.
$20 off discount code unfiltered on austriancork.com.
When does this last until? Is this a one-day offer?
No, we actually, you know, for your listeners, we thought maybe they need some more time to think about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the event is coming up. Tomorrow it will be 2 weeks, so don't wait. You know, tickets are actually selling pretty fast.
Good.
Last year we sold out, so.
Excellent, excellent. And Constance, my question for you is, in a social media realm, how many people are gravitating towards wines of Austria as a portion of, say, the greater wine drinker? So, you know, there's people that want to go to wine events all the time. Mm-hmm. Is Wines of Austria getting more and more people, or is it sort of like
plateaued?
I think it's continuously growing. I mean, it's always interesting to see even people that I haven't personally reached out to that discover Austrian wine and are really passionate about it. It's just one of those things that there is so much to know. And
where should they go online to find more information about Austrian wine?
Well, austrianwine.com is the site put out by the Austrian Wine Marketing Board, which has pretty much anything you'd ever want to know about Austrian wine.
And aren't you the queen of Facebook?
Yes, there's also... you can find our page on Austrian Wine USA on Facebook, and also Austrian Wine on Twitter, and our blog, austrianwineusa.com.
What do you find that, you know, regularly you Twitter about? Is it... more wines? Is it recipes? Is it a combination of both?
I mean, we like to share all of the things that people are talking about our wines. We share tastings that people are hosting, the importers across the country, not just in New York. Just things of that
Articles
nature.
Articles and things like that.
Yeah, little tidbits, you know, so people can kind of learn.
Cool. Well, we are going to wrap up this afternoon's program, but thank you so much for joining us.
And thank hopefully you. We'll, no, thank you for having us.
Thanks for the invitation to the event, and hopefully we'll have you on post-event.
Mm. Excellent. Yes.
Well, thanks for tuning in, guys, and special thanks to our friends from Wines of Austria. And this has been another episode of Unfiltered.
And thank you to Happy Jack, our producer and sponsor, Fairway Market.
And wait, say goodbye to Rex, everybody.
Bye, Rex.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of six provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the six features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market. In 2010, EscapeMaker.com won an Emmy Award for their agritourism webisode. So this year they thought, why not bring agritourism and green getaway ideas right to you? Come to the Green Getaways Local Food and Travel Expo on April 30th at One Hanson Place, home of the Brooklyn Flea and former Williamsburg Savings Bank. Presented by Amtrak, Zipcar, and I Love New York, the carbon-free event will be a day filled with food, prizes, workshops, and kids' activities. Over 50 getaway destinations, from counties to local farms and bed and breakfasts within a day's drive or train ride of New York City, will be exhibiting on the main floor and in the huge bank vault downstairs. See what's hot in sustainable travel and receive special show-only discounts. Grow NYC will be doing workshops on the green market, and Appalachian Mountain Club will offer workshops on adventure bicycling and hiking via mass transit. EscapeMaker.com will be giving away over 50 getaway prizes, ranging from zipline adventure passes to an overnight stay at Mohonk Mountain House. Travel greener, eat local. Come to the expo on April 30th. Get your tickets now at www.escapemaker.com.